Lord, I thank you that you do all things well, even though they seem like sometimes too well done or not well done enough. But it's just right for us. So I pray your Spirit would just come in and do in every heart what only you can do. Father, I'm really good at messing stuff up, but you're really good at putting stuff back together. So Lord, I pray that your Spirit would be with us with the rest of your word and you'd speak to hearts like only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the first part of this series in this, I guess, five-part-ish series, maybe? Ish? Five, don't hold me to the five, is all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You know, because we're going to have some pauses, I think. But like all your shows, I know y'all get excited about episodes coming out. You know, when's the next season of my la-la-la coming out? Or I can't wait for this, you know? They don't lie, no. All your Netflix account come right to me. I'm just kidding. You're like, oh, Pastor, don't even say it. I'm just messing around. Just messing around this morning. I'm just saying, but people get excited about their shows. You know, the old school shows, new school shows, you get excited about your shows. You know, there's going to be mega series that we're going to be doing. You know, this one's what it is right there. The Growing Joe, episode one, The Pit and the Pitfalls. Episode two is going to be like something like, Episode two, something like The Pot That Almost Cooked Me. And episode three is going to be something like Joseph the Prison Boss. Right? Yeah, we're going to talk about some things. We're going to talk about some things. So Joseph's God's son also. Did you know that? And there's great lessons that we can learn from his holy word. This whole word is holy. You know, Jesus quotes the Old Testament. It is written. So if you're just one of those people only New Testament, I'm just going to hope to expand your horizon to the whole word of God, that Jesus actually quoted the whole word of God and used the whole word of God himself and was the living word come among us to fulfill the word of God to be the word of God. So it's important to know the whole word of God. I can't say it again if I tried. But there's some good life lessons in here, you know. Joseph had lots of famous titles, right? Multicolored coat, right? That's why I wear this today. This is the multicoloredest coat I have. You know, this is my multicolored coat. Yeah, it. You know, Pastor Hardy's like, here, I'm going to hide that. That's never coming back. I didn't think you'd actually wear that on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. You see up here, like, oh, there's all sorts of different energy coming from over here about this shirt, you know. He's Joseph, the multicolored coat. He's the dream coat, the dreamer, right? Those titles. How about the vice president of Egypt? Serious, he was the VP, you know. And there was Joseph the arrogant dreamer, but that's something his brothers threw in there as a title. You know how brothers can be rough. Brothers can be rough. In the church, out of the church, in your family, out of the family, brothers can be rough, right? Anybody? Can be. Some people think, you know, they said arrogant dreamer. Some people think they know it all. But one day you wake up and you're not that young anymore. And you realize, you didn't quite know how to blank as much as you gave somebody criticism for. You know how people give me advice on pastoring the church and never pastored one their whole life? Yeah. That never pastored a single church in their whole life. They got all sorts of advice from me. I'm just saying. Ever have anybody give you're building something and they never built something? And they start telling you, Andy, how you should be doing it. Why are you doing it that way? It makes no sense. Yeah, are you kidding me? You know, sometimes you know some things, but when you're young, you start popping off like you know some things. And then you grow up and you mature and you go, man, I wish I didn't say all that. Parenting's way harder than it looked. You know, you had all sorts of advice for people who had kids until you had some. And then you went, oh, goodness, this is a little harder than it looks. You know, these manuals they keep passing out don't work as well sometimes because my kid, you know, some people think they know, you know. In this series, I got to admit, some of it came to me in the 90s via my pastors. Various little things they put into their life. Thank you. They'll appreciate that. An angel got its wings, apparently. So, my pastors, I love their various styles and types of teaching. And they're all different. Bishop Pierce came, you know, with this big revelation and vision and and Pastor Deb Kuda, she'd get out there and teach something so practical. You know, you just go home and like, man, I can apply that right away. And Pastor Bob and Jane with their object lessons, or Reverend Krem Brooks with prophetic, you know. And so I had these people pouring in my life, and some of this came from that time. And then Pastor Heidi was talking to Pastor Deb Kuda on the phone, and she said, I got these 3 points I'm going to be talking about, Pastor Deb said. And as soon as she said it, the Lord confirmed that you're going to teach this series. Because it was really something I did in Whetstone many years ago, a leadership class, and many, many years ago. And so I asked if I could steal her slide, because it's going to say a lot to us about where we're at today. Never make the temporary permanent. Never mistake the process for your promise. Never confuse what you're going through with where you're going. Take a peek at it a minute. Chew on that a minute. Never make the temporary permanent. Ever look at a situation and go, this house is going to be forever. Come on, some of you, I know your temperaments.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to be this way. I'm never going to know. Right? Ever been said one of those words, always and never? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Never mistake the process for the promise. But you said this, God. Why do I, why? Never confuse what you're going through with where you're going. Because you got to go through something to get somewhere. And I said, Pastor Deb, I'm going to steal that, because that's going to, it's talking about the process to progress or progress. To progress someplace, you got to go through a process. You know, if I'm going to transform this into the rock, I better be in the garage a lot more and eat a lot less. Working out, right? There's a process, right? You can't become Dr. Heidi just because you, you know, stayed at a Holiday Inn. There's a process. You know, she had to learn studying to school and to do things that none of us did to get her professional counseling degree. She's Dr. Heidi because she went through a process, right? Anybody ever not gone through a process in your life? Oh my goodness, right? The blood was full of process. So part of this series and its contents were deposited in me. Things like it's the pit, the pot, the prison, the palace. You know, that was kind of put in me. And then later on, God began to choose. Ever get something, then God chooses it in your life, and you go, oh, I need more details. I thought I knew everything. Ever read a scripture and go, I know that scripture so much. I know it. Oh, I quote, that's on my refrigerator. I've got a picture on it. I bought one, you know, from Quentin. I bought one and put a picture, and it's a scripture on my wall right now. I have that. I know that scripture. And all of a sudden, in your knowing of that scripture, God drops in your life and shows you something you never saw before. Right? So I began to chew on stuff, my experiences with some of the things. Some things you can be taught, and you got to walk them out. You don't know what it's like to turn the other cheek till someone slaps you on one. Seriously, some of you have never been slapped on your cheek. How are you going to respond? There was a day, yeah, there was a day. I'm going to say hello to unconsciousness for you if you do that again. But God said, no, that's not how you respond, Pastor Sean. Help me walk that out. Boy, he'll give you opportunity, won't he? He will. My time with Jesus produced stuff. The pit, the pot, the prison. And he began to show me about the promised land and the palace. About things that were beyond those things for me. So he was gracious to give me fresh stuff. Say this with me. God gives us levels to things, right? New levels to things. The series began to turn and churn in me way, way, way back. So it's kind of a stroll through the Old Testament, because some of y'all never read it, right? And it's kind of lessons for current leaders. If you're currently in the body of Christ, if you are the church, say, I am the church, then you're a leader. He put you, a light on a hill can't be hidden. The stars and the candles. Some of you NSBI students, I'm just saying, right? Come on. And so you're a current leader, and if you're not, you can be a future leader. Because we are the church. Say, I'm the church. We got to do a better job of stepping up and stepping out. This year, right? I'm stepping out, and I'm stepping up, and I'm stepping out. Because I am the church, right? So I think I do. I have a slide with everything. Joseph, the pit, the pot, the prison. I got a slide. This is what we're going to learn. The pit. Say the pit. The pot. The prison. The palace. The promised land. And into paradise. That's where we're going. Most of our study is going to be in Genesis 37. The pit and the pitfalls. I'm going to throw a little bit of New Testament there to enforce some principles of Jesus. You know, I want you to get psyched. Let's talk about a pit. You ever been pushed into a pit? I mean, you just walk along in life, and some situation, wham, just happens to you. Out of the blue. You got your booty knocked into a pit. You were just like, doo-doo, you're cruising right along. Pit. Have you ever been maybe bullied into a pit? Trying to think of the stories I can tell. What looked like me bullying some kid into his locker and stuffing him in there all day, my friend's little brother, and it was a wrestling team thing, and he was running his mouth. But I pushed him into that pit. Didn't need to. Repented many years later. But he also dug part of that pit. Right. Ever stumbled into a pit? Like I was doing so good with that, and all of a sudden I fell, made a mistake, and there I am in a pit again. Right? Some of y'all fight sobriety, right? You're doing good 10 years, boom, fell into a pit. I know where this is, but God can help us through the pits. Right? Pits suck. Right? I haven't found a pit I've liked yet. You know, haven't enjoyed any pit experience to this point. You know, if you feel in a stuck today, if you feel stuck in a pit today, I'm truly sorry, because I know some of you are stuck in a pit, and I'm very sorry. I do want to say this. Please don't stay there. Look, hit your neighbor. Go, don't stay in a pit. Don't stay in a pit. You ready for more honesty? So get preach the word, Pastor. I'm going in a second. If we can be honest, and you can listen to this, have you ever blamed others for your pit? That's a hot topic right there. That's some self-aware people. I love it. Owning your junk. If we only owned more of our junk, we'd have less of it in our trunk and carrying it around. Stay on the message. You ever blame someone for your pit, and then when you matured a little, say to your neighbor, you matured a little, right? Have you matured a little since you've been in the body of Christ? Have you matured a little? If you haven't, uh-oh, that's your problem. But you saw a situation maybe a tad more clearly than you saw it when you're in the pit before. And actually, if we're honest, some pits we dug ourselves. Ever dig yourself a pit? I dug myself a pit before. Wearing this today, man, dug myself a pit. I'm just saying. I got these professional counseling notes, you know, that says, I look at the time and I go, wow, I've got plenty. If you ever never realize that, sometimes you made some immature decisions and you put yourself in the pit on your way to God's dream. You made some immature decisions on the way, right? You got all excited and jumped into something. And before you know it, it was a pit, right? And maybe you're like, if you have not actually realized that, no, I've never done that to myself, and it's everyone else. I didn't realize that kind of Jesus status could be achieved here. I would caution you that maybe you're not as self-aware as you think. If you can't look at yourself and say, sometimes I dig my own pits. Right, I'm just helping us try. I'm trying to this morning. This is good. You know, it's good for us. But both ways in my life, over 34 years plus serving God, I've, boom, fell into pits, been pushed into pits, and dug my own too. Anybody else? I've done all three pits, right? I've been there. You know, you might feel like you're in a pit now. So, Father, I thank you for this series that you would do something great in the body of Christ. You would cause us to lead others to the promised land in Jesus' name. Genesis 37:1. finally to the word, right? So Jacob, Israel, stop. What? Jacob, Israel. Well, part of that story you should know, there's a name change that happened there. The nation of Israel happened because this guy Jacob and God made a deal. But I want you to notice something. Y'all just notice how Joseph's story starts with his dad's story? Joseph's story starts with his dad's story. And it's true in this life, too. You can either bring honor to your family name or you could bring shame to your family name. And I think I've brought both before. Right? And it always starts with a father imparting something to a son. And the father imparting something to a son. I'm trying to show you this is Old Testament, New Testament. This is truth. Starts with a father, right? Anyhow, Jake or Israel, you know that story, right? Mm-hmm. Jacob, this bloodline that is blessed in the nation and the world is because Jacob made a connection with God that you should read about. Some of us need to learn how to submit and surrender to God, let him wrestle us a little bit. Genesis 37:2. These are the generations of Jacob. What? We're still on Jacob? Yeah. Israel lived in a land where his father Jacob had been a stranger. Right? Was that in one before? Is that one? Go back to one for me. I'll read it through. I'm sorry. I thought it was all in two. Can you go backwards? If you can, it's cool. Can't. It's cool. All right. Good? Okay. So Jacob lived in the land of Israel. The land where his father, Isaac, had been a stranger. Remember Isaac, the sacrifice? So he's talking about his father, too. Okay, go to the next one. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when he was 17 years old. Joseph, when he was 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. He had many brothers from another mother. Right? Anybody else have any many brothers from another mother? You know, this blended family here going on, right? It's this blended family. Yeah, blended family. Was shepherding the flock with his brothers, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. The boy was with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's secondary wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about his father. There's some cultural things going on here, right? And there's a mixed family going on here. Say culture. Okay. But here's the part I want to jump into. And Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. You know, Jesus could have helped him right here. Seriously. Jesus taught in the New Testament, if you got a problem with your brother, go to him. Joseph needs to learn that lesson. How many people go tattling on their brothers when they should go to their brother? And actually maybe get instead of accusing them, say, hey, why are you doing this way? Because you're going to find out later that Joseph the shepherd isn't so great at shepherding. And his brother's been doing it a whole lot longer. He can't even track a herd of sheep and his brothers. You can't read print. You'll find it out later in the story. So here he is, the non-shepherd who stays home with dad. Comes back after he watches his brothers working and brings a bad report to his dad. How's that feeling? You're all like, oh my goodness, he's one of those guys? You ever work with one of those guys? Come on. I don't know. Maybe in this story it comes across like a rat or a party pooper. Maybe the brothers that they're doing, they're supposed to be doing, won't be ratted out. There's rats on both sides of this fence. Genesis 37:3-4. Now here's a problem coming. Now Israel, Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his other children. How do you know this is going to be a problem? Raise your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Life lesson, don't show favoritism. Try your best not to show favoritism. Right? Try your best not to show favoritism. It's a lesson we can learn. It was hard at first when you only had one child. I wanted to stop. Why? Because I cannot love another human. We can't have more. What will I do with this love? And then another one comes, you love them just the same. Another one comes, just, you know what I mean? But here we have a problem. Why did he do this? Because he was the son of his old age. Okay, if you're a mature son, you need to hear this. Don't be jealous of the babies getting attention. Body of Christ, don't be jealous of babies getting, Pastor should give me this attention, or Jody should give this attention. So the reach leader, Jasmine, didn't get me a big foo-foo. Come on. Stop being jealous of babies getting attention, y'all. I know we just got started. I know. And no one's saying bring it down. So I'm like, yeah. You know, I'm just kidding, you know. Pastor Isaac, because I'm sitting on my hands over that shirt still, you know. Because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a distinctive multicolored tunic. His brothers saw that their father loved Joseph more than all his brothers. That's sad, right? It'd be sad for me. I feel sad over that. Not them, though. They didn't feel sad. They had a different emotion. It says, next thing it says, they hated him. That you hated your brother because he's the baby getting loved on more, and he got a coat? You'd be surprised how jealous the body of Christ could be over dumb things. Well, Pastor so-and-so, he got this. Or if our ministry had this, well, I can't believe that Nick and Jasmine have a... Or do you know that? Come on, the body of Christ got to mature a little bit. This is a real series about real life. I mean, the series you watch are gritty, right? Sometimes, oh my goodness, main character get killed. Don't be a main character get killed in the series. They hated him and could not even find it within themselves to speak to him on friendly terms over a coat. Couldn't even speak to him anymore. It was bugging him so much, man. Dad's always giving him attention. Always, you know, giving him stuff. He ain't out here shepherding with us. I remember I started shepherding at 16. He's what, 14 or something? He should get up. Right? They kind of added, they hated him. And they couldn't even speak to him. Ever been in a situation where you had a brother in Christ couldn't even speak to you? Or something you thought was dumb or God blessed you? We want our way, man, more than we want God's way sometimes. Right? So I am the church and I must grow up. Genesis 37, 5 through 11. Now Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it to his brothers and they hated him even more. Oh, man, that sucks. Can't help the dream God gives you. Ever been hated for something God gave you? I have. I've seen it. But here we go. He said to them, please listen. Uh-oh, Joseph. Listen to the details of this dream, which I have dreamed. Here's a peek at why the attitude they had against him a little bit. Because he had this dream, and if it was a terrible, terrible dream where he's an idiot, he's probably not sharing that dream. But he has this awesome dream from God, and the very first thing he goes out there and goes, hey, listen, let me tell you the details about my dream. Listen. You got to listen to me and what God's going to do for me. And it's going to affect you all, so you need to bone up. Because something's happening, and you're going to have to deal with me. I'm just trying to help you. He said to them, please listen to the details of this dream which I have dreamed. We brothers were binding sheaves of grains of stalk in the field. And lo, my sheaf suddenly got up and stood up and remained standing. And behold, your sheaves stood all around my sheaf and bowed down in respect. So you're in respect. Now, you don't have to have a dream interpretation book, right? Or a direct line from God to get an idea what he could be talking about here. If I had a dream, and I stood amongst you all. No, I didn't. There was a stalk of wheat that stood amongst you all, and then each one of your stalks surrounded Pastor, and then you bowed down to my stalk of wheat.
Oh, sure it did, Pastor. That the brothers are like,
All I can see is that coat, man. You're even talking? I can't even hear you. You know? His brother said to him, are you actually going to reign over us? Are you really going to rule and govern us as your subjects? What makes you qualified? So they hated him even more for telling him about his dreams and for his arrogant words. I'll tell this little pullover. God's blessing is no reason for you to be arrogant. Ooh. God's blessings is no reason for you to be arrogant. It causes problems. But Joseph dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers as well. And he said, see here, I've dreamed again. And lo, this time, I saw 11 stars. Wait a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 11 brothers. Oh, here we go. Okay. I saw 11 stars, and the sun and the moon bowed down in respect to me. Oh, yeah, then he went and told his father, as well as his brothers. But his father rebuked him and said to him in disbelief, what is the meaning of this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and all your brothers actually come down and bow to the ground in respect before you? Joseph's brothers were envious and jealous. Say envious. And jealous of him. But his father kept the words in Joseph in his mind, wondering about them. Because you have to be able to hear God, even when you don't want to like the looks of it. How dare you? Should I? Hey, you don't know what God has planned. Are you so arrogant that you know that couldn't be God too? There's a lot of arrogance going on here. A lot of envy going on here. But it's not in the church. Say, it's not in the church. Because I am the church. Genesis 37, 12. Then his brothers went to the pasture, their father's flock near Shechem. Israel, Jacob, said to Joseph, are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come and I will send you to them. And he said, here I am, ready to obey you. So remember last time we heard about this? Last time Joseph went, he came back tattling. You know? And he's got this fancy coat, and he's the baby. And obviously he's old enough to wander off by himself to find them. So why isn't he out there helping? But he has a good idea how they should take care of the sheep. They got a great idea how they should take care of the sheep. He ain't taking care of sheep one iota in his life. And all he did is criticize them when they were doing their job. Good or bad. If he thought it was bad, he should have said, hey, why are you doing that? To their brother. Said he tattled off to dad. And now here is the great tattler. The great critic. Right? God's dreamer. Then Jacob said to him, please go and see whether everything is all right with your brothers and all right with the flock and bring word back to me. He should have gone to Reuben for that. It caused a problem. Reuben is the oldest son in the culture, and that should have been his relationship with Reuben. You don't have the right relationships with the right people, it causes problems. That's just a sidebar too. So he went with him from Hebron Valley and went to Shechem. Now a certain man found Joseph and saw that he was wandering around and had lost his way in the field. Some shepherd. Right? He's lost in the field, right? Shepherd Joe could not even find the sheep in human tracks. So either this flock that they survive from is tiny amounts of sheep, and they all walk in single file, stepping perfectly in each other's footprints. And the 11 brothers do the same. or this kid has terrible tracking skills. He's a terrible shepherd. He can't even find the sheep or his brothers who are taking care of them. So, how dare he be so critical? How arrogant to criticize these guys. I'm not saying they're the greatest group of guys. They got their own envy and jealousy problems. But there's two sides to that argument. It always gets thrown on the brothers. And I'm going to tell you right now, Joseph dug his own pit. It's hard to hear. But we got to hear it. So the man asked, "What are you looking for?" And he said, "I'm looking for my brothers. Please tell me where they're pasturing our flocks." Then the man said, "They were here, but they've moved on from this place. And then he heard them say, let's go to Dothan." So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. Check this out. And when they saw him, what do you think happened? You're working, right? You're sweating, moving the flocks around. And here comes the tattler in his coat. Here he comes. Here he comes, like he always comes. Here he comes, right through the front door. Here he comes, right to the family get-together. Here he comes. He says he's a Christian, but I work with him every day, and I'll tell you right now, I don't know what your story is, but I bet you had someone come up over your hill that way. And they saw him from a distance, and even before he came close to them, they plotted to kill him. Envy and jealousy will lead to that. The death of relationships. There's some relationships in our life that envy and jealousy have already killed. And there's some that's killing them right now. Help us, Jesus. And then they saw him from a distance, even before he came close, and they plotted to kill him. And they said to one another, "Look, here comes this dreamer." They're a little torqued about it, aren't they? Brothers are about to throw him in a pit that he helped dig, metaphorically speaking. I'm saying he deserved being thrown into a pit. But some of the things they're hating on him for and jealousy for is a lot of his arrogance. Well, he just had a dream from God. He did, you know. Did he have to go shout out the details to his brother, how they're going to bow down to him? Or could he have hid the matter in his heart? I'm just trying to say, dad got him a new coat. Awesome. Flaunting it around in front of people that you know are jealous? Don't stumble your brother. He helped dig the pit. Joey is digging a pit for himself. Little Joe, digging a pit. But you know who's digging a pit too? The brothers are digging a pit for themselves too. They think they're digging a pit for Joseph, but this pit's going to come back and haunt them. They're digging their own pit. But envy and jealousy, you don't see it because it's inside. You don't see the pit that it causes. You don't see the body chemistry changing in bitterness. You don't see attitude changing. You don't see distance going on. You're like, I tune in that out. I can't hear that anymore. And the bitterness is growing. And before you know it, the come up to that pit is going to be bigger than the pit you saw someone else get theirs. Both are digging a pit for themselves, not just for Joseph. See, the pit is sometimes part of the process. The pit is sometimes part of the process. Sometimes you got to hit a pit to go, wow, I am at my lowest point. You know, it's rare that Ethos Counseling gets clients. We get paid very well for what we do. We're top at what we do. It's great. But rarely do we get clients that come in, we just want to make life way better. Life is awesome, and we want it to be more awesome. Most of the time they come in, they've hit their absolute low, and they want to kill each other in marriage or divorce. That's when they come to counseling. That's a good place to start, is the pit. And sometimes if you don't come to the pit, you just keep digging, just keep digging, just keep digging. Because at some point you're going to hit bottom. And sometimes you got to hit bottom in your pit. It's part of the process. Right? Anybody been through that part of the process? Been in a pit before? I know. Let's do Romans. Okay, get us New Testament for just a second, Pastor. Romans 8:28. And we say the church... Mm-hmm. We, the New Testament disciples, know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God and to those who are called according to his plans and purposes. Even the pit can be part of the plan. Didn't have to dig it, but since it's there, let's learn a lesson, son. The worst part is when you fall into a pit and you don't learn the lesson of the pit. Yeah. God is like Sister Joachim this way. You will never pass the next grade unless you pass the grade from the first. You know, skipping the test. Some of y'all stuck in your pit because you keep digging it or pushing other people into one. And it's time to get out of the pit, right? Doesn't mean we shouldn't try to avoid the pits, right? Well, God ordained the pits. Well, he honestly gave him an opportunity to avoid the pit, you know? You should try to avoid the pits. Don't dig your own, for goodness sake. There's enough pits out there, right? I don't know if you've noticed, there's pits everywhere you go. Don't have to dig your own. Arrogance digs a pit, and so does envy. It digs a pit in families and churches and cultures, and we stay in the pit. And if we don't learn the lessons from the pit, we'll stay stuck in the pit. Genesis 37, don't mean to freak you out, Jen. 37, 20 through 24. Now then, come and let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits, cisterns, underground water storages. There are lots of pits out there to get tossed in, you know. We don't lack for pits. Pits are just there. Pits other people dug, pits we dug, pits the world to dig in. Then we will say to our father, a wild animal killed and devoured him. Okay, so what are we going to do? Envy and jealousy seem like such a little sin. And before you know it, they're going to beat, strip, kill, and lie. All because they're jealous. Making up little stories just because they're jealous. Strip and beat somebody up verbally just because you're jealous. Jesus said, it's not a little sin. It's a sin that leads to death. You need to feel the sting of that. Envy and jealousy are and have no place in the body of Christ. It will only lead to death. They said, and we shall see what comes of his dreams. Now Reuben, the oldest, heard this, and he rescued him from their hands. And he said, let's not take his life, Reuben said to them. Do not shed his blood, but instead throw him alive into the pit that is here in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him. He said this so that he could rescue him from their return later from his father. That's commendable, isn't it? Seriously, escalating crisis, he stepped up in a minute. They're going to kill my little brother. I don't like him either. He is a rat, but he's my father's son. And so it's escalating quickly. Like, they saw him popped up, let's kill him. Kill him and chuck him in a pit. Okay. What about this? What if we just chuck him in a pit? He just stepped up, you know, so that's commendable. But he doesn't have enough courage to stand up. So you can step up for a minute, but standing up takes a while. So keep standing. You know, I don't know. I'm not trying to get political. I'm not political. And don't get draw me into political because I'll zone you out. I'm a theist. I believe in God. It's the only thing I serve. I don't serve any party. I serve God. But I'll tell you, some conflicts that if our nation gets drawn into that I don't agree with, I'm going to stand up. We'll be sending our kids to be killed for no reason. And I support the Marines. I got brothers I love. But sometimes you got to stand up to things. And I don't know where you're raised and you're from this part of the world, that part of the world. I was raised in upstate New York. And on Martin Luther King Day, it meant something to me because I know my friends and stuff they had to deal with. I had to stand up. Standing up for what's right is standing up. Stepping up and standing up aren't always the same thing. He stepped up, but he didn't stand up. I just wanted to point out, thank you for stepping up. Saved Joseph's life. I wish you would have stayed standing. That's all I want to say. Now, when Joseph reached his brothers, they stripped him of his tunic. His distinctively multicolored tunic. That tunic. You know the one? You remember the day he got it? Yeah, January 2nd, 1942. What? Yeah, I know the day he got that coat. I remember. He wears it all the time. I see it everywhere I go. He posts it on Instagram. It's on Facebook. He's got a podcast wearing that coat. The distinctive multicolored, which he was wearing. So homeboy goes to see his brothers, who he's always ratted on and who he told the dream, and he decides to wear the coat he knows ticks him off. I'm going to stroll up in this. What are you going to wear today? That one. Why? Because I love to see the look on their face when they see me blast. Well, you're misreading the room, Joseph. Little Joe, you're missing the room here. Either he knew it ticked him off or he was oblivious. Or both. Then they took him and threw him into the pit. Now, the pit was empty and there was no water in it. So what's the lesson of the pit? Don't be jealous of God's other kids, even if they seem more favored. Seriously, that's a problem. You got to stop envying anybody to your left or to your right or in front of you, behind of you, any other church, any other person on the face of this planet, and develop a relationship with your Father that you can keep blessing. If you don't feel like you get enough blessings, spend time with your Father. He gives out the blessings. Well, how come this and how come that? I don't know. Get with your Father. Why did Joseph? I don't know why Joseph. He was the baby. He's the baby. Yeah, don't hate the baby. New believers need to be loved, not hated. They're getting so much time. Every time I reach, Sister Charity is spending more time with the new believers. And she just spent more time with me like Pastor Gail did. Wah, wah. Doesn't happen. I can pick on it, but don't hate the babies. And don't hate the blessed. I finally had a husband like Jody. Put my arm around him, around me, cuddling me up. Look how smiley his wife is. He wears that John 3:16 hat. I tell you. Don't be envious and jealous. You don't know the process they got to get what they got. You don't know someone's process. You're just in your pit. You're about to be. If you stay in envy and jealousy, trust me, you're digging a pit that you're going to fall away in your feet later. We're going to get to it. It comes just before the promised land. At some point, Joseph's going to go from the pit to VIP. Oh, yeah. That could be a big problem for those that throw him in the pit. I used to have a list of people. I know, it's hard to believe. Before Jesus, I had a list. I'm going to see this guy when I'm older. He ain't going to be bigger than me then. No, he ain't. I had a list. That was a problem. Keeping a record of wrongs. That could be a big sin for me. Right? Don't let envy and jealousy of someone else's blessings dig a pit for you. How about this too? A lesson from the pit. Never be arrogant. I can stop it right there. Never be arrogant. God's dreams, you should be unashamed of them. But you have no reason to be arrogant about God's blessings. And the pit sometimes part of the process in our life. And the pit starts to wake up a lot of things in Joseph. His work ethic begins to change. The pit is going to teach him, if I want to be better, I better stop being that guy. Now, he could have got right out of the pit, started blaming
So we do that. We blame others for the pit that we fell into, but sometimes it's our arrogance that put us there. And the body of Christ needs to stop with that. We do. Right? These are the kind of lessons that will cause us to progress in our Christianity. They'll cause us to grow. If each one of us walk out of this series with real, a little more humility in our lives, even if God's got a big dream, and you got a big gift, and you got a big whatever God has given you. But if you can walk out with more humility, then you understand how to get out of the pit and how to avoid the pit. And then if envy or jealousy is a thing that gets through you, if that's something you're prone to deal with, you're welcome to humanity. 11 brothers out of 12 had it. 11 out of 12, those are big odds, right? If there's an envy or a jealousy problem that grows within your heart, I'm going to ask that during this season, let it process out so you can progress. So you can be the sons of God. The tribes of Israel are going to come out of these guys. The nation of Israel, under their father, their sons, his sons are going to progress the nation of Israel. They better learn some of these lessons so they can be like their father. Right? The pit of envy and jealousy is a death trap. The pit of arrogance is a death trap. Look to your left. Look to your right. No more pits. No more stinky pits. Not falling in any more stinky pits, right? Go ahead and stand with me for a second. You know, the process, the pit sometimes starts the process. And this humility training that the body of Christ has had to go through, I think even through COVID season. I know it's been hard. There's a lot of lessons, but I hope we learned some humility. I hope we did. If we didn't, golly Moses. And I hope we learned not to judge other people going through their process. I don't know, but I feel like the world wanted us to be more judgmental of each other. I feel like the world tried to draw us to be more critical, more separate, and definitely less humble. Those are all the opposites of things Jesus taught us. The New Testament church. And if we could become a New Testament church that could put the principles of Joseph in our life, whenever pits come into our lives, eventually, if you let the process completely happen to you, you'll take people to the promised land. And then from there, what we really want is we want them in paradise. Amen. All right. Father, I thank you that you help us to walk humbly and rejoicing over the blessings of others. Lord, that we would be the kind of people that give people coats. We don't envy coats. Father, we clap for Joseph. Lord God, we attend to the babies so our father doesn't have to. Lord. And we'd be the kind of people that envy and jealousy wouldn't be part of our nature any longer. We'd be a united church, a powerful church, a healthy church, and a whole church. So our Father can be proud of us. In Jesus' name, amen.